today's episode of Resettled Radio as a repeat episode from earlier in the year.
Welcome to Resettled Radio, brought to you by the ARCC, live on Planet FM.
Stay tuned for current affairs, conversation, interviews, music and more,
as we explore the perspectives and stories from resettled communities
and bring you information from within the resettlement sector.
Till I see a pop on the head. When you show them how fi pop it till in a bed. Y'all can't pop it till, then she must see the hot teeth. And y'all a pop it till with them y'all red.
Hey, watch her and Nikisha. A dancer for your panapisa. Do the pop it till, mamacita. If you want the money, Mrs. Sita.
Watch the girl, them a catch it every girl back of them. Y'all a do the pop it till with a man back of them. Y'all them a catch it every girl back of them. Y'all a do the pop it till with a man back of them. Puppeteer.
Don't forget to subscribe. the city jealousy. City jealousy. City jealousy. The boss. City jealousy.
Dance, dance. Abande. Unula mumbi. Zimbani. Kalimune kenang. Kwezi yukira mujembu. Endo satukubana. Achule kawo dada. Never came to Ganga, Italy Musana, oh Mama, oh la la, oh Agariba, oh Agariba,
I just drove out on a jungam, Jacob is to Gusam, Bambi drove out on a jungam, Jangwe to Tijan, I
am a little.
Ahora, assalamu alaikum, jambo, muzuri sana, good evening, greetings to you from Nairobi. This is Rasraru Radio, brought to you by ARCC on Planet FM 104.6. I'm your host for this afternoon. This live broadcast is from Auckland, New Zealand. Thank you for the views. Thank you to you viewers who have just joined us and who are following us online. That's Eddie Kenzo from Uganda. So today I will be taking you through some of the programs, but there's one issue that has been discuss all over again and again for many years now in many parts of the world, especially in Africa and Middle East, is about female. They call it FGM. FGM simply means it's female circumcision, and is done in rural areas mostly, and. People who practice that is are the people who try to satisfy their beliefs. In some parts of the world, is for like initiation, transition from a younghood to the womanhood, and in some countries is the fulfillment of the religion. And this is a very dangerous practice. Most countries in the world have banned it. They banned it. And some countries are still practicing the FGM. It's a bad. It's something that cannot be allowed. The UNICEF says 3 million girls get cut. You know, they practice. They are being initiated through the FGM. 3 million girls in the world each year. So if you factor this 3 million each year, so you will have a lot of them, and you know, in some countries it's more than that, because they are not recorded. There's no recording in that. So why I'm bringing this, because I will take you through one of the girls who have taken this challenge to investigate. One of the Somali girls who have taken this challenge to investigate what are the underlying issues in such a practice, why some people are still practicing it and some people have already banned the practice, the FGM. So this girl is a journalist, and she's a correspondent with Al Jazeera, and I took this piece from Al Jazeera, and it's like a documentary, and please pay attention to that. It's 48 minutes long. Maybe it will cut off in the end, but there will be times I will come in for the music. I hope it's a good thing to enjoy. Have a listen and stay tuned.
I'm Fatma Naib. I'm an online journalist. Yeah.
Austrian by origin. It was while making a web documentary for Al Jazeera about female genital mutilation that I realized how deeply rooted it is in many cultures, including my own. I have family and friends who have been through it, but it's not something you talk about. As a child, I attended a close relative's gathering after she was cut. It was then that I wondered, have I been cut? To my relief, my mother told me that she chose not to. When I think about the severe health risks involved in FGM, I can't help but wonder, why does this practice continue in so many countries? And what would it take for it to stop? And how do some manage to change long held attitudes towards cutting while still preserving their own culture? And then there are more personal questions, like whether my mother has been cut. I've never asked her. I'm determined to find out more about the different reasons why FGM continues and to understand better what's needed to end it. To Somaliland, because together with the rest of Somalia, it has the highest rate of female genital mutilation in the world. FGM is banned in most countries, but here it's still legal. In Somaliland, children are mostly cut between the ages of 6 and 8. Come to the outskirts of Hargeisa, the capital, to meet a traditional cutter. Noor has been cutting girls for over 40 years, around 25 a day at her peak.
How many girls have you cut? What type of cuts have you performed on the girls?
Hosta, halka, yahalka, and the scutulia. Good name, Kurus, Tusha or Dambalatulia. Sadda had our sober good name for only Magayada Kalale. Lakin Sunu were entire this week. Serta was a Hinaya, Labadal Gossam, Chad Iskaka.
Nora shows me the most common cut in Somaliland. The Kurus. The most severe pharaonic one.
What do you use this for? So you put it in the clitoris?
Ah.
You don't use the knife?
Maya.
Okay. Okay.
Oh,
it's a thread. Can you show me how do you determine how big the hole should be that you leave? This is how big the opening is. Only this bit?
Well, good news, of course.
And you're supposed to urinate from this, and when you're a teenager, menstruation goes through this hole. It's very small.
Over 90% of girls in Somaliland are cut by traditional cutters. Unlike Noura, most have no medical training. Most girls and women here have had the pharaonic cut, and I want to know the consequences.
Assalamu
alaikum. Alaikum
assalam.
Anab is a senior midwife at the local hospital.
You have a very beautiful house, mashallah.
Thank you very much.
She was born in Somaliland but moved to Sweden as a result of the civil war.
In 1999, I decided to come back to do something for my people because I'm more needed here.
How have you been involved in the fight against FGM?
cases which we help is those who have fibroid is a tumor which forms the collected blood. The blood cannot, if the space is very small, the menstruation cannot go out all. Every month when the girl gets the menstruation, there will be something left in the uterus. So this will form a tumor. This becomes big and big. People will say, this girl, she has illegal baby in her stomach. So the doctor takes out this, and the girl will be okay.
Anab helped found the Megan Maternity Hospital in Hargeisa. Two days a week, Anab's counselors carry out educational outreach work in the community.
Salaam alaikum. Taaso kale oo kulli wixii had dhaqan fiican oo lagu daydo dhaqan kale waxa jira xun isaguna oo in yaani u xun de in xaq caafimaadka xiiloyin badan ka keen tara ma ku siin lahayd in iska sii deeso maadaama wacyi gelinaha inta badan in aad maqashaan la leeyahay habal la sii deeyo sidoo hore
Shatu wants to discuss her health worries with the counselors. She's 18 and pregnant with her first child. She'd had the pharaonic cut. So why do you think Somaliland has the highest percentage when it comes to FGM globally?
It takes time to leave the culture. Grandmothers and mothers, they still hold on with the suturing and FGM. Especially the grandmothers are very, very concerned. They will not leave it. There was a lady who had three girls. She came to me at the hospital. I told her, go back to the home. I say, I did the operation. She's very clever for this grandmother. When the girls are going to the toilet, she goes after them. She listens to the noise of their urine.
Oh.
Because when the girl is circumcising, there's no noise with her urine. Because it is like a drop. Tick, 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 tick. Ooh, she cried. She said, oh, my daughter, the girls are again urinating like a boy's. What you did? You did nothing.
Do you think that eventually people will abandon this
Eventually, practice? But it will take time.
these young people at a wedding reception. I wonder how many of the men would be willing to marry an uncut woman in the future. Hussein, a local journalist, posted an anti-FGM message on social media. I was curious to know why.
I read the Facebook status where you said some men believe FGM reduces a woman's sexual desire. They say this increases her appeal. What made you write this?
I wanted to talk because it's a problem for our girls. And it is against the human right of the girls.
Are you married?
No, I'm not married.
Okay. When you will get married, do you want to marry someone who's cut or uncut?
Uncut.
Okay. Are you married?
No.
You want to be married someone who's cut or uncut?
Cut. An horo wuxuu yeelin marka ma jir waxaan u taageersanahay de dhaqankeen soo jiray soo jireenka aha in lagu horimaada marka ma aha in la dabar gooyo oo la yiraahdo waxaan casriga aan qaadayna horta dhaqanka marka ay Soomaalidu leedahay in hore looga jaraa ma jirto.
I am a woman and I come from a culture that also practices this. I am not cut, and I know as a woman, based on what other women have told me, that it's, there is no good in it. If they tell you this is hurting us, this is literally killing us, and we need it to stop, would you then listen?
Ha, talo Rusiya makala samaylaha marka de dadan kamelo ugu gudba ma jiraysaa waxa jiraysa in talo Rusigaasi and may dumarka waxa loo eegaya bulshada dhaqanka bulshada.
I'm surprised that a young man should feel so strongly about holding on to this tradition when it's so harmful. If FGM is to end, changing men's attitudes will be essential.
The
Edna Adan University Hospital collects detailed information on trends in female cutting.
This room, we have ultrasounds.
Since 2002, all antenatal patients are asked what kind of cut they've had and if they intend to cut their daughters.
This is rare to see a woman who is saying, I will not do it to my daughter.
Okay.
In 2002, 97% of female patients had undergone the pharaonic cut. And most intended the same for their daughters. But that has changed.
There is a huge improvement in the type. Mm-hmm. And the majority are having now in type 1, type 2, which they call sunnah. Mm-hmm. But everybody is getting cut. Still. Type 1 is the one that they say, a little bit of tip.
Yeah.
But type 2, they cut it half of the clitoris. We know all cuts doesn't have any benefit. Fatima and Kadan.
Dr. Shukri introduces me to a friend who's at the hospital on a postnatal visit.
She gave birth 40 days ago.
Oh,
so
you look great.
Yeah. She's an interesting person to talk about.
Kadan is a midwife and knows the harmful effects of pharaonic cutting from personal experience.
I was 7 years old. I remember at that time, severe pain. When I wanted to urinate, I can't. I'm crying. My relatives are coming. You are coward. Why are you crying? Don't cry. The first problem I feel is that when I'm 16 years, the menstruations are coming. I feel pain, lower abdominal pain, back pain. Then the doctor say this problem is for the FGM. That's second complication I feel. Even I feel the third complication when I'm married. Yeah. The day was done for the cutting. I never forget that day. It was a very, very pain.
Did you feel any resentment towards your mother and your grandmother?
Yeah, but my mother, she had no education.
As I'm leaving Somaliland, I feel privileged to have met the women who've shared their stories with me. But I'm overcome with emotion as I realize virtually every woman here has been cut. And what it actually means.
I've always known about the numbers and the facts and the figures. But when you come face to face to women who've gone through it, it seems like the women who have to endure this and the children who have to endure this, you go through cycles of pain. And for what? For what? And it's happened to so many women and girls. Like my mom, I'm so happy that she, I don't know why she didn't cut us, but I'm so grateful. Because my life would have been so much different, because it feels like I would have gone through that pain. To go through that. And then not to be able to do something that it's a God-given thing, to pee. You can't pee. And then you have menstruation. And then when you have to have sex, you don't enjoy it, and it's like painful. And then you have to give birth, and then it just continues. I'm so grateful that I didn't go through that. And when I met this woman who had to go through it,
more about a totally different culture. There are over 40 tribes here with diverse cultures and traditions. The majority don't practice the cut at all. But for several, including the Maasai, cutting has been a centuries-old tradition until recently. Today, I'm meeting 28-year-old Nais Lengeti. Nais has managed to totally eradicate FGM in her village of Nomayanat.
Just for fun.
Traditionally, for the Maasai, cutting is a rite of passage marking the transition from girlhood to womanhood, usually between the ages of 9 and 14. The ritual involves a more severe type of cutting.
We lost a few girls in this village because of circumcision. I used to see girls, even if they are trying to be strong, but you can see that they are feeling a lot of pain. Others are bleeding. We saw deaths in this community.
Nais was the only girl in her village who refused to be cut.
So all of my classmates who are from this community, all of them have undergone circumcision. And they were not able to go on with their education. They have to find a husband for you after circumcision. So right now, almost all of them have 3, 4, 5 children and above.
Hi, Jumbo. What's your name?
My name is Florence.
Oh, what a beautiful name. Have they been circumcised?
No, they have not been circumcised.
How do you feel about not being cut? So what would you like to do when you grow up? Okay, thank you, Lauren.
As a result of Nice's determination to end FGM, no young girl has been cut here since 2012. The Maasai are a patriarchal society. Nice first had to persuade the young warriors, called Marans, to help end the practice. Recruiting Douglas, the leader of the Marans, was the beginning.
What did you do, Nice, to make them change their opinion about FGM?
Douglas was the first person to accept my work. The resistance was there from all over, but then again, I had another trick, because when I go to them, I'll go with someone like Douglas, so I'll make sure that he talks before I talk.
So what did you do to persuade the Marans in the community?
It was very hard for us to convince other boys, because they say that they cannot marry a girl because if a girl is not circumcised, she's not a woman. Then if we give an example of some of the dead that we have seen in the community, they say, okay, it's true, and let's forget it.
I think it took more than 5 years for them just to accept, and now we decided to come up with an alternative.
We came up with an alternative rite of passage. If the 10 girls in this community, and we want them to upgrade to become a woman, we bless them. Then we slaughter the same cows, we celebrate all together, but we didn't cut. So that's what we come up with.
Douglas brings some of his fellow Morans to meet me.
Yeah, we are a mix of married Moran and unmarried Moran.
Do you know what actually happens when a girl is cut? Nice show with the Morans, a graphic video of a 2-year-old girl being cut with a knife. What did you think? Do you have a daughter?
Eh?
How would you feel if someone said she needed to be cut?
So
I think it was one of the powerful tools we've been using when we are addressing them on the issues of female genital mutilation.
And there was another very persuasive incentive for the young warriors.
When we sit as Moran, as we talk and talk about sex, you see most of the Morans or most of the men, they say, if they sleep with uncircumcised girl, she's very sweet in sex. Now that's what also convinced most of the Morans to say we don't need a circumcised girl. Yeah, so...
Okay, so that's also another reason.
Yeah.
Meeting the Maasai in Numanyan gives me hope. If one woman can change attitudes in one village, perhaps with time, it's possible to change entire countries. Tribe named the Pokot, who've practiced FGM for centuries as a rite of passage. I'm here to meet Domtila Chisang, who's devoted her life to ending FGM in her home county of West Pokot. She's married with 2 young children. Domtila's 28. She's one of the few women of her age in this county who hasn't been cut.
Mine was really another escape. What happened is I witnessed a stage of the cut that kids are not allowed to witness as a young girl. I was only 11 years old. In this community, FGM is performed in 2 stages. This one first stage, which is a slight cut. Yeah, that is done in public with the presence of men, women, and young girls and young boys.
And they see it?
Yes, we see it, but they just, do like a slight cut. Just immediately after the first day, the women are taken to, and the girls are taken to a secluded place, like a bush. So we sneaked in, and what I just saw on the second stage was so shocking. My cousin was lying down there in a pool of blood, yes? And women were pinning her down, and her genitals were completely... You know, this woman was, like, really butchering her? Like, you know how you cut pieces of meat? I was expecting it, to do that, just that.
Yeah.
But she was really doing this,
With a knife?
Yes, with a knife, yes. And she was screaming, but her screams were being covered by the women singing and, they're trying to cover her screams, and she was helpless. What was left there was just like red flesh, yes. I still can't believe that this is something that we are still debating about. honestly.
It was this traumatic experience that made Domtila refuse to be cut and motivated her to set up her own charity to help end FGM. We're heading to the village of Samich, where 160 girls are preparing for an alternative rite of passage ceremony.
We chose Samich village because in 2014, a 17-year-old girl died of FGM.
Hello!
The trip to Samich from Domtila's house takes 2.5 hours. The girls are rehearsing their dances for the alternative ceremony.
It's really nice coming in. It was beautiful. I didn't expect to see this.
The Pokot community love dancing and singing. Yeah. We want people to know that we love our culture. Mm. We love every bit of it, only but from the cut.
Mm.
Yes.
So is this where they still feel that their culture is still there?
There's nothing foreign here. The teachers are from the same community.
The girls receive 4 days of lessons before their graduation day. Today, they're learning exactly what FGM involves and the health complications using models.
When you have been cut, you put into a seclusion for 1 month, whereby you are taught how to become a good wife, how to treat your husband, how to cook. So we do the opposite. We bring the girls in here. Mm-hmm. We teach them like the children's rights. We teach them about health implications of FGM. Then so it's basically same. Mm. Like same thing without the cut, but and different teachings, yeah? Mm. Because we want these girls to be important people in the society.
Domtila and her colleagues have had to work hard to change the attitudes of parents. In the Pokot community, a cut girl can bring significant economic advantage to a poor family.
A girl is married off. A man brings dowry in terms of cows. And I'll tell you that for this community, the bride price is quite high, especially if the girl is young and cut. Most people tend to marry their daughters to older men because they bring good number of cows, as many as 30 cows. Because of poverty situation, they are tending to cut their girls when they're still young. And then they marry them, often they get there. It's quick wealth.
So how much is an uncut girl worth?
For an uncut girl, you can actually be given away at a throwaway price. Yes, like 4 cows. They might even give you away for free because they just want to get rid of you because you're a burden, you know?
At tomorrow's graduation, the girls will sing and dance to a song composed by local musician Lokito. She has a personal reason for wanting to end FGM.
No one helped you?
Mamie chinyo ke ngarakan bolo ke legit parabara ni ki uno lo dola kar mataka ke soa pichoni kisan ji ki pech por jan ji ki pomoni ni le ji ni ka paraji.
What was the name of your sister?
Clementine.
Clementine. How old was she?
11 years. Kigoni ya kiamana nambolo bolo komaran lo kinetu amba pikacha.
FGM has been illegal in Kenya since 2001. But around here, the law has been largely ineffective.
These are just 160 girls. The girls around this village and the villages around, most of them are still being cut. I mean, we have not been able to reach out to everybody. This is a big big land, you know, it's a big county.
I find out from Domtila that one of her younger sisters ran away to be cut with friends. I know Domtila's views, but I wonder if the older generation, her mother and grandmother, supported her sister's decision. She takes me to meet them.
Police are looking for them.
It's not funny, but so she was hiding in the forest. So you were against it because of the law? But in your time, FGM was good. Meeting Domtila's grandmother makes me appreciate why the key to ending FGM in West Pokot is keeping girls in school. That way, parents don't have to rely on a dowry to help support them and their elders. Educated girls can pay for their own cows. Today's alternative rite of passage is being held in the market square in Samich. Hundreds of people from many different villages have come to witness the occasion. Sacrifices to be here today.
Are there many of your friends here dancing with you today? It's just you here? No one else from your village?
No.
So does it mean they will be cut?
Yes.
Are your parents here today?
No.
They're not here?
No.
Okay, and you're here just alone?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go and join the others.
There's another girl who catches my eye, whom I'll meet soon. Ellie will leave a lasting impression on me. The presence of dignitaries here is a testament to Domtila's success. It means the alternative rite of passage has the stamp of approval of important elders in the community.
FGM is bad. We don't want to be part of bloodshed, blood that is cast.
The vast majority of Pokot people are Christian, and the graduation ceremony ends with a blessing.
Number 6.
Parents and elders stand behind the girls that belong to their villages.
Number 7.
Yes to education.
Number 7.
Yes to education.
Number 8.
Not to FGM.
Amina.
Kwa jina la Baba na la Mwana na la Roho Mtakatifu. Amina. Na mbarikiwe.
It was wonderful and touching to see all the community leaders and the parents, especially the fathers, standing behind the young girls. Symbolically, it was like saying, we have your back. We have your back. We support you, and we support your decision not to be cut. It was wonderful to see. And it was just wonderful, wonderful.
I want you to meet Ellie. Sasa Ellie.
Hello, Ellie.
Ellie's the girl I noticed dancing at the ceremony. She ran away from home after her father began beating her mother, believing she was responsible for Ellie's refusal to be cut.
So your family have shunned you. They pushed you away.
What do you say to young girls who are about to attend the alternative rite of passage? What do you say to them?
Any mojina baja na lukweli mwanare. Atodo mnyanya lemanyi jile lakuta gini age uti anya bang ambani le komiri tunda kau waski wansi leo la kusabunda jana ni elila angera ran.
So what are your hopes and dreams for the future?
Awangin kosta nanyo karam amalana alokwa yo yosa magapiche alokwa amun nyomuja ngalone ngalonjini mon ngawalaka Fatuma non nanyendela yani anachukuliaje non jini la kache ngan kame kanan wazumzuri kutoroka nyumbani na nime kosa kutoroka nyumbani.
Oh, that's a tough question. I think you're very brave because I can't imagine giving up, you know, you leave your whole family behind, your siblings, your father and your mother. I don't know what I would have done.
Tinga nyikia na tano tinga tala itafikia siku nitarudi washuhudie kwamba nilikuwa mtu ya maana.
You know what I see when I look at you, I see someone. I can see a lot of sadness in your eye, but I can also see strength and determination. So I believe that one day you'll have your own family, one day you'll have your degree. I believe that you will achieve all your dreams.
Spending time with Domtila has been an inspiration to me. Through her resilience and example, she's inspired so many others, like Ellie. I'm sure in turn that Ellie will do the same.
Yes.
As I leave Kenya, my thoughts turn to my family in Sweden. It's time to face my own taboos.
It's been such a long time. Yeah, it's good to see you too.
Back in Stockholm, I meet up with my old childhood friend and fellow Eritrean Swede, Husseina.
I am getting chai latte.
Okay. Who's paying? Me or you?
I'm paying.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Neither of us know enough about why the cut is performed in our own culture.
I'm going to introduce you to some ladies.
Yeah.
Like our parents' generation, you know?
Yeah.
Generation that doesn't talk. And I think it's going to be interesting because they've worked with the subject.
Okay.
You know? Let's go.
All right.
Hewitt, Merit, and Aisha are Eritreans. They support women in the diaspora in Sweden.
I diaspora så är det ju nästan alla som inte är könsympat. I Eritrea gör man alla typer.
Mm-hmm.
Från den enklaste till den infiltration då där man ser ihop. Hos oss så är det ingen passage.
Mm.
Vi firar inte barnet är slut och du håller på att bli kvinna.
Våra generation pratar ju inte om det här. Mm. Men varför tror ni? Varför gör man det?
Det handlar om kontroll. Det handlar om att kontrollera kvinnornas och tjejernas sexualitet. Det är det det handlar om. Jag är fjärde generations protestant. Hewitt är katolik. Mm. Och andra är muslimer. Mm. Men vi allihopa är drabbade av det. Så det har ingenting. Jag vill bara liksom understryka. Det har ingenting med religion att göra.
Mm.
Viktigt säger att könsstympning finns inte bara i Afrika eller Eritrea, det finns världen över.
För folk tror att det här är ett svart problem, eller det här är ett afrikanskt problem. Jag har läst mycket och det känns i de här senaste åren. Man får veta mera och mera. Indien, Pakistan, Kurdistan, Irak, Latinamerika. Den vit kvinna i Amerika också som skrev om The Guardian.
Then Hewitt brought up a normally taboo subject.
Njutningen, det kan inte vara optimalt på grund av att vi är omskolna. Vi vet inte, vi har inte upplevt det optimala. Vi kanske tror det här är optimalt. Det här är optimalt för oss, men egentligen jag kan jämföra. Förstår ni? Inte. Tyvärr.
Jag berättade till min dotter igår alltså att jag skulle göra det här. Alltså. Åh, vad äckligt. Hon orkade inte, alltså hon mådde riktigt dåligt. Och sen, nej mamma, prata inte om det där, jag vill inte höra.
Mm.
Jag förstår att man vill inte prata om det, men vi har rätt att njuta när man har sex. Men det är mycket mer än så.
Ja.
För det handlar om 200 miljoner flickor och kvinnor som har gått igenom det, som går fortfarande igenom det.
Så att folk inte tror att vi bjuder till sex, så är det inte. Det är inte det vi gör, men det har psykiska och fysiska konsekvenser.
Ja.
Och det är därför det ska stoppas. Så om vi höjer kunskapen om det och pratar om det öppet, precis som vi gör nu. Vi kanske skulle aldrig sitta som eritreanska kvinnor och prata som vi gjorde idag om det var för 10-20 år sedan. Men nu vågar vi för att vi vet hur skadligt det har varit. Vi har inte gjort det på våra döttrar till exempel. Psykiska
konsekvenser. Although I've always known I've not been cut, I've never asked my mother why. FGM is not a subject to discuss, but today we're going to talk about it. It took a lot of convincing to persuade my mother to take part in this film. My father and sister refused due to the taboo that surrounds the subject. There's a personal question I need to ask my mother that makes me uncomfortable. So I start with the easier one.
ليش ما طهرتونا؟
لأنه مش لازم مش يعني مش زي حق الأولاد. يعني اللي كان يعملوه مش مكتوب لا في الدين ولا تراديشن زي الكولتور هو زي العادات والتقاليد.
بس برضك لا مستغربة إنه المفروض في جيلك الناس يعني بتطهر أولادها لكن أنت بتقول أنت اخترت إنك ما تطهر.
أيوة ما بس إحنا ما كنت أهتم مش من النوع اللي يعني أنا ما مش من النوع اللي أمشي ورا العادات والتقاليد.
طيب أبويا ولا أي حد من أقاربنا ما قال لك ليش ما يعني
ولا
ما
إيش عرفهم ولا حتى أمي كمان ما كانت
جد الله رحمه
ما كانوا يقولوا طهروهم عملوهم.
الله كويس طلعت أنت مودان أوبن مايند تاكسي مكة. كويس الحمد لله. في الرحلة هات أثرت كتير لأن شفت أشياء أوف
مش مش عاكين
عذاب هو
yeah.
عذاب عارفة
ساعات بدأت أفكر أقول يا الله حرام يعني الحريم والبنات وهذا فساعات أنا كنت أفكر أقول الله مسكينة أمي كنت أقول يعني أمي يعني مسكينة هل هذه كمان
حتعذبت
فعشان كده يعني أنا عارفة أن الواحد ما يتكلم في الأمور دي وإنجن فروغر بس ده فيكتت في مي أنه أعرف يعني أم ديوها قطيين أم ديها فأنت ما مش مطهر
يو تعلمت عنه بس عادي خفيف
ما في خياطة
لا 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 ما في
ما في إيش
ما في خياطة
بس كم عمري كان
لا لا صغيرة
ولما ولدتينا وكده ما تعبتي
عادي لا 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 ما تعبت الحمد لله يعني تولدي ولادة عادي يعني تتزوجي زواج عادي
يعني انت ما تعبت في اي مرحلة في حياتك يعني ما عشان ما يعني ما
سووا شيء ما في تعب
I feel such a relief after speaking with my mother. I know now that she did not endure the worst form of FGM. And I feel proud of my parents' decision to end the practice, which meant that I did not endure it, and in turn, neither will my daughter. This journey cements my belief that FGM will end one day. Change will come, but it must come from within. From those who understand that the richness and uniqueness of culture does not depend on traditions harmful to women.
And thank you for listening. It has come to the end of the program, and we will be meeting you again next Saturday, same time, same place. Thank you for tuning in. Bye-bye.